Father, we thank you for the glory of this day.
Yes.
You have thrilled us with brilliant skies, incredible colors, Christmas of the air. Lord, it's all to your glory, and we know that you have designed this time for us. Lord, that you have set apart this time for us, that it is your heart that you want to share with us today. So, Lord, we just ask that we would just have absolutely compelling concentration. Lord, that you would anoint us with wisdom and understanding as your Spirit just adorns your word. Lord, we are so thankful that we can meet in this way, in this place. So, Lord, be raised up and be central and guide us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so welcome to session three. We're going to look at Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. And the context for this session, it was like trying to take a mountain and shrink it down into something digestible, but this is the best I could come up with. So the context for this session is what we looked at last time, is that the heavenly realms are really the kingdom of God, where Jesus reigns in absolute, resplendent authority, enthroned over all reality and the creation that came into existence through him. The church is Christ's predestined, elected people drawn to him throughout the ages, who receive the grace and truth he embodies, living life in the mighty train of his love with humility, assurance, and zeal to confirm their call and election. In Christ, the entire universe finds its full explanation and rationale. Through him, the mystery of the Father's purpose and will is made known, which is to unite all things in Christ in the fullness of time. In this, the consequences of the fall are totally reversed. Man and creation are raised from corruption into the redemptive unity of God the Father's original design. So, you know, those are the...
Did you write that? Or?
Yeah.
Did you?
Wow. Well, did you read it again?
Wow. Yeah. I'll say, well, we can go now.
Wow. I got to memorize it.
That is fantastic.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Diana, you can join us. Please. Here. Let's sit way over there.
We can move our chair up.
We need your shining countenance among us.
Well, there's room.
Plenty.
You're the teacher.
All right. Anyway, glory to God. Let's go. All right, the learning target is really only one. Of course, many subcomponents. The learning target for enduring understanding from this session is that you would be certain that every part of your journey in Christ Jesus is designed to give praise to the glory of God. You need never be in doubt as to the reason for your existence. And I wish the kids were here, because I came to Christ because I didn't know why I was alive. And it was killing me. And I just was ready to check out.
Wow.
So, once you get this lesson under your craw, you're never going to have a doubt, no matter what situation you find yourself
Absolutely.
In. There is such a huge role that you have to play. Okay, so let's look at, these are just three little verses, but it takes a dump truck to carry them around. So big. They're not little at all. So, Diana, since you're right there, why don't you go ahead.
11 through 14?
Yeah.
In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory.
Okay, thank you. All right, so here we go. Now let's start with verse 11. And what do you see re-emphasized in this verse? And you see something mentioned in verse 5 and verse 7, but what do we see re-emphasized now?
Being predestined according to God's
plan.
Mm-hmm. Not about us.
Yeah. There's a predestining going on. There's a plan. So, I mean, it's really amazing to look at this. It's verse 5, it's the purpose of his will is mentioned. Now, maybe your versions have something different. But verse 9, it's the mystery of his will that is mentioned. And verse 11, it's the counsel of his will. Okay? So, that's a lot. That is a lot. The purpose, the mystery, and the counsel. It's all about the will of God. The will and purpose of God drives reality. And there is no other explanation for everything that we see, hear, feel, and experience. I'm so sorry about all the philosophies and craziness that's out there. The final reality is God is, and his purpose and will drives the final reality that he is. So, all right? So that really is just the foundational reason that we're here.
Yeah.
So according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his will. And again, we have the complete explanation and purpose of our existence as we are what?
In Christ.
In Christ. Yeah. Remember, that's a lot of what we were talking about last week. You know, grace and truth. All right? Grace covers truth. Truth is, we all fall short of the glory of God. We are broken, hopeless sinners. That's the truth. But the grace of God covers that truth. And the cross is central to that grace that covers the truth. You know, grace and truth intersect at the cross. You can see the lines. You know. Thank God.
It's grace, mercy, and truth.
Well, yeah.
We have to have mercy.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, somewhere in that, grace is the mercy.
That's in 2 John, that's he's writing grace, mercy, and truth.
We're studying 2 John.
Are you? Oh,
yeah.
Good book. All right, verse 12. What is the truth of the foundational truth as to the purpose of our existence?
For the praise of his glory.
It's the praise of his glory. Yeah, I mean, it's just right there. Now, having said that, mm-hmm. How do we understand this reason? Can you expand on that? What is the process by which, or...
I've always appreciated the definition of glory as the manifestation of God's presence.
Yeah.
So, when we are in Christ, and Christ is living in and through us, God is made real to not only us, but everyone around us, and that brings praise.
Yes.
That is our sacrificial act of praise, if you will, by Christ live, by surrendering, submitting, and letting Christ live through us.
Amen.
And that brings the reality of God.
Yeah. I mean, to praise something is to what? To praise someone, it's to...
Lift them up, adore, exalt
them. Elevate
them.
So that they are seen and, just appreciated. And when we live in Christ in this life, we manifest Christ in this life. And that life raises up God. You know, you really are real. I can't explain this person's reactions. Glory to God. God is real. His purpose is moving through this world. And this is the opportunity we have every moment we live.
And move and have our being.
And have our being, yes. So what a privilege that God would choose his church in order that praise would come to him.
Yeah.
So you can never minimize anybody, ever, at any point.
Because it's all part of his plan.
Yes, yeah.
Who he puts where.
Ephesians 2:10 is a little nugget that many of you probably have written on your heart. Somebody want to read that?
Yeah.
Tansy, go ahead.
Oh, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
So, I just love that. Put that in your hat as you go to work. You know, this is a tremendous mystery that before the beginning of time, God not only envisioned you, he set out the good works for you to walk in. That is incredible. That is just incredible. So, you know, I mean, maybe you rebel against the idea that your life has been scripted, but don't. Don't.
Consider the author.
Consider the author, yes. That's great. Really. So, you know, in a real sense, you know, every moment in our life is a divine appointment. Mm-hmm. Every moment.
Even when things break down, like this morning, as I hate. Well, God's sovereign.
Yes.
Have more patience.
Yeah, but that's totally correct. So, all right. So the beauty of this is through our moment by moment earthly lives in Christ, in loving obedience to Christ Jesus, we can actually bring praise to the glory of God. Our lives in Christ are designed, this is on the handout, to be a mighty amen to God's glory, the revelation of all his attributes and character, as John was leading us in. The glory of God, the shining forth of all of his attributes. Do you guys need handouts?
Yeah.
You got them?
Yep.
Oh, good. So, that's the privilege that we have in Christ. It's just unfathomable. You know, it's so beautiful.
Jeff, did you want to just say that learning target again?
Oh, okay. Oh, for the...
Yeah.
You guys in the back? it's for all of us, but this... I just want to share with you that I came to Christ because I needed meaning. I needed a purpose to live. I was depressed and ready to not do something good. And once you have the truth of why you exist written on your heart, you'll never have that temptation again. You will be a new person. So the learning target for this session, as you'll see, is that you would be certain that every part of your journey in Christ Jesus is designed to give praise to the glory of God. You need never be in doubt as to the reason for your existence. You know, you guys know the truth. No one can take it from you. You always, no matter how crazy things get, you exist for a very important purpose. So, you know, the teenage thing is like, why am I here? You know, what is the purpose of this pain and all these crazy things that are going on? And we see echoes of that through our whole lives.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So we don't live with the teenagers, do we? Just you get a different set of issues. But the answer is always the same.
Yeah.
Always. So I don't mean to be preaching at you. I'm just, we had this little discussion before you came in. So we just,
that's good.
It is. Okay. All right, now this gets interesting as we go here. verse 12. Now, who is Paul speaking of in the phrase, we who first hoped in Christ? Who's that?
I would think the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Disciples.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the original... You know, the Jews that were, you know, Jesus came to the Jews. You know, he really. So, if we look at verse 13, who is in him you also? Who's you also? Who's
the Gentiles.
The Gentiles. Okay. And if we look at verse 14, we see, well, if we read the fullness of it, in him you also have heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and believe in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is our inheritance. So you have these, who is our, in verse 14.
The church. The whole church.
The whole church.
It's just to Ephesus.
Exactly. It is the whole church. So, what is the lesson of the pronouns here?
Unity in Christ. Reconciliation of the two. Of one.
Yes.
Body.
Yeah. Which is a huge theme in this book, is the unity of the church. In Christ, there is no Jew, no Greek, no Gentile, nor nothing. There is this Christ in all, through all. You know, I mean, Paul perceives the joining together of Jew and Gentile in the Church of Christ Jesus. Ethnic and religious considerations have lost their meaning, as both are now members of one body. And it's one of the great themes of this letter. Remember, I think it was in the first session that we mentioned that there was this thing going on with the Gentiles saying, well, you know, we have arrived here, and you Jewish guys, you know, we love you, but, you know, we've got the whole story. We got the beginning in the New and the Old Testaments. And that was not right. They needed to be reined in and appreciate the root from which they were grafted in. Yes. So the beautiful unity of the church is on Paul's heart here. And the little march of pronouns gives you that. You know, it's just an interesting little vignette there. Okay, so now let's go on to verse 13. This is probably one of the biggest verses in Scripture. It says, in him you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Okay, now there is a process outlined here by which one is joined to the kingdom of God. And what do you see? What are the components of that?
Well, first you hear the word, mm-hmm. then you believe, and then you're sealed in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Hearing, believing, and being sealed. Okay? Now let's go through these. How do we understand hearing as it's presented in this verse?
I don't know in the Greek, but in the Hebrew, I think that word hear is also a connotation of obey.
Okay.
And it's not like simply I hear it.
Yeah.
I hear it, but I get it. I hear it, but I get
like
it in my heart.
I like that, yes.
Yeah. So it's that regeneration that happens to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least it's the start, I'll tell you.
The hearing of the word.
Yeah. So hearing in this sense is really, it's a revelation. Mm-hmm. It's a revelation. Hearing here is supernatural. This is a supernatural. You can hear the sound of a car, but this is totally, or you can hear somebody and just tell them, you know, get lost. But this hearing is transformational. This is a supernatural hearing. Wherein the arrow of truth, what is the status of the person hearing before he really hears? What is it?
Darkness.
Yeah, you're dead.
Darkness, yeah.
Yeah. So hearing in this sense, the arrow of truth regarding your fallen nature pierces your heart. Mm-hmm. Pierces it. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live amongst the people of unclean lips. So it's kind of that Isaiah moment. But what happens, okay, and this might be a little off the wall, but let's see what we think here.
Could I just add?
Yeah, please, yeah.
Just hit me. And only God knows when our heart is ready. I mean, it's God has prepared our heart to soften it to the point where the arrow can break through.
Okay.
You know, that's grace too.
That's,
you know,
totally
that's the
grace.
Convenient grace that comes, you know, because our hearts can repel a lot of arrows.
Well, we're going to talk about that because I think that you can hear And there is yet another thing that needs to happen. And it's all about what you have just said. All right. Hearing, with the first consequence of hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, is what?
You believe it.
Understanding it.
It's
you've got to have a humble spirit and be hungry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It has
for
to be
me,
faith.
It was...
There's
I took a risk. I went, it sounds crazy.
Well, there's a little, you know, this is where I, you can correct me if I'm wrong, seriously.
There's tremendous sadness and sorrow and regret.
Yes.
Of where have I been? What have
yeah.
I done?
Yeah. Yes. And what is that? What do you call that?
Godly sorrow.
Conviction.
Conviction.
Conviction. All right. Thank you. No, seriously, you these terms... There is always going to be an attempt in this class to nail down these terms because they're all floating around. They're like birds in an aviary. You know, you got to grab one and nail it down. What is this? You know, it's like...
I'm going to remember that vision. So conviction comes during hearing yourself.
You hear.
And you write. Like,
and the first step is you're convicted.
You're like... Mm.
Yep. So
because this is true, I have... been way off. Yeah. I've been living a lie.
I know.
Yeah,
and, yeah I've been told and I believe that I could work my way to heaven.
Yeah, what a fool.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the beauty of the word conviction is the Latin root of that word is vinco, which means to conquer. That's where you get victorious. Yes. You are conquered by the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, you just wave the flag. You say, darn it. Everything I've done to this point hasn't been what it needs to be. Okay, but now there's still another step here. And again, this is all about God's grace. Conviction has come, but what are the choices that you have? At the moment of conviction, you still have choice. You're not a robot. And what are the choices?
You say I'm hopeless case and I'm lost and that's it.
Good
so
for you,
it's
not
all
me. Good enough for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Go with that, Joe, because that's it. It's
well,
what?
It's good enough for you, but not for me.
Yeah. So what is that? That is the D
denial.
Word.
Denial.
Yeah. You can be convicted and still, in your sin, deny. You say, you know what? I don't want to deal with that. I know it's true. Jesus died on the cross, but you know what? I don't need that right now.
Yeah,
I got
it. It comes in different forms too.
It comes
I have
in
a friend
tons of
who
forms, yeah.
Feels that she's not worthy because of her upbringing.
Some lie sown into her life. Yeah,
right. She said, "I'm not worthy for you."
Yeah.
So that's a denial in a different form.
Yeah.
No, the world, I say, world knows about Christ, about his. Unconditional love, but they don't realize that it's conditional. You have to believe before you get the unconditional
right.
love.
Yeah.
Because they say, hey, you know, God is love, he's unconditional, he loves me, I'm going to heaven.
Good point.
But it's conditional.
Yeah. Because again, they have denied the truth of their own situation, haven't they?
So, hey.
So who needs God's grace, you know? All dogs go to heaven.
It's a gushy love.
Yeah.
He's grandfather. Yes. He loves me.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but sometimes a lot of people accept Jesus and it's in their own terms.
Mm. Right.
And there's a lot of Christians
good
in churches
point.
Today and, I, you know, seeking for the Lord. What is missing in my life? God, the church and everything. Went to transcendental meditation because there was something missing in church.
Yeah.
Until I saw the love of Jesus as these teen challenge kids, you know, and drug addiction. And if you seek him with all your heart, it's amazing. He just brought people and opened my eyes to see that's what's missing. I needed to make him Lord of my life.
Yeah.
Because I went to church since I was a little kid, but it was a partial thing until I learned what Lord meant, boss. So I told the teenager and the kid, boss, you got to be the boss in your life. You know, keep it down simple, not all these religious terms.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, unfortunately, we have a lot of religious terms here. But this is for the edification of all of us so that as we live our life to the praise of the glory of God, we are on the level of of the people that we're in contact with, in the sense of getting alongside of them and not lording it over them. I mean, heaven help us if we give this arrogant, self-assured thing called, in our presentation of the gospel, because that's not the gospel. That's something that you created that stinks. So the spiritual dynamics. Sorry. The spiritual dynamics of denial, in a nutshell, are what? You. What?
You are Lord.
You are Lord. Yes.
You're on the film.
Human. Yes. And who was the originator of that deal?
Satan
himself. As you deny Christ, you are falling right into the camp of Satan. This world is pretty crazy. There's a constant battle. And as we deny in little ways, big ways, every way, you are living a lie. You're falling into this world system that is headed and driven by Satan. There is no other driving force in this world that is outside of Christ. I mean, he has limited power, and he's been given this in this fallen world in which we live. Even though, you go back to our original statement, you know, the heavenly realms, you know, Jesus is obviously Lord of all. But for a time, Satan has this, you know, this jurisdiction that is all about a lie. And the denial that we have comes from him.
Well, so the world says you're weak. You know, you need a crutch.
Yeah.
You know, like this atheist gal said to me, I mentioned it before, when I was a den mother, and she didn't want to pray in the den group, and, you know, God is your crutch. I said, no, he's not. He's my wheelchair.
I think God gave me that answer.
What a
so
great
cool.
That is the
say.
Best. Oh, Rosie, I love that. Thank
that
you.
Thank
so
you.
In this verse, who is the target of believing in verse 13?
Christ.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Whom you believe.
Right,
yeah.
In him, in Christ. Him. Again, everything joined to him. Always in him is joined to him. you also have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. All right, now, we're going to move on. What is the relationship? Okay, believing is where we are now. We've heard. Now we've come to this place of believing. Now, you can go down the road of denial. We don't want to do that. So let's go down the road of believing. Okay? And that the target of that belief is Christ Jesus alone. Not the Pope. Not anybody. Christ alone. Okay? So this conviction now has led us along the road of believing to repentance. All right, now.
Jeff, can I say,
yes, please.
I was going to say, if we're not going to be in denial, then I think the opposite of being in denial would be trusting what he said. And that's what it says in the first part of the verse.
Yeah, in him.
Trust it after.
Oh, good. Read your verse, because that mine doesn't say that, but go ahead.
It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye had heard the word of truth.
I don't have that.
Yeah, trust it.
That's
King
great. It's New King James?
No. New King James, who believed.
My New King James is also trusted.
And also trusted. Isn't that funny? Rise Standard drops that out. Yeah. Kind of not so good. All right, so
believed. What I'm thinking of, you know, how it says the demons also believe. Mm-hmm. So there's that kind of believing that you, it's a believing where you're not gonna, you have to take God at his word.
Yeah.
You can't go into it without
That's
trusting.
Interesting.
Because you don't have all the answers right there.
Yeah.
You're just,
thank you for that. Yeah.
But it said you will change.
So what is the relationship between conviction that we spoke about and repentance?
Well, I think when you are convicted, you turn away from whatever it is you're convicted of.
Yes.
You might turn away.
An action has to take place in between.
Yes. Yeah. That's it. This is what? this is the grace of God, isn't it? Because you can be convicted and then you can do this whole thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the grace of God in Christ takes you through conviction to repentance. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, conviction on the wings of grace brings transformation. That was something that came out of the last lesson.
Because I remember, I was just compelled.
You couldn't help it.
To surrender my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really think it through.
Yeah.
It just happened.
Yeah.
And like, I'm still amazed.
Yeah.
That I got saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. The love of Christ compels us.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And then I was a new person. And I was like, wow, how did that?
Yeah. Well, let's go with it. This is great. What is the truth about repentance? How does it come?
Grace.
It's all grace.
It's a what?
The Spirit.
It's a gift.
It is a gift.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This is given to you by the grace of God. And that is... Go, yeah.
I just have to share 2 Corinthians 7:10, because I love it. Godly sorrow brings repentance, which leads to salvation and leaves no regret.
Yeah.
But worldly sorrow brings death.
Mm. Beautiful.
And it's that godly sorrow, that conviction brings repentance.
2 Corinthians 7:10. Do you hear that? That's a big verse.
It is a big verse.
Thank you. See, that's what's so much fun about teaching this class. I could come in here with my head on backwards and it would still go right. Because you guys are so full of the Spirit. Ah, the Word of God. It's so awesome. All right, so it is a gift. All right, repentance cannot be earned. You cannot do penance. Forget that stuff. It's dead as a doornail. All right? Repentance comes as the gift of God. So, but what does it mean to repent? What is the definition of repentance?
Turn around.
Yeah.
The opposite
turn
direction.
Turn around.
Change
direction.
Have a change of mind.
Surrender.
Surrender is huge in that, exactly. All right. It is a gift, and it is to feel. I just looked it up. I like to do this. It is to feel contrite over one's sins so as to change one's way. That's from Brother Noah. Now, this word contrition and contrite is an important word. Does anybody know what the root of that word is? What that word, where it comes from? Any Latin scholars in here? Yeah. It literally, there's a verb called conterere, C-O-N-T-E-R-E-R-E, and it means to grind. So, if you are contrite, you are, what has happened? You are...
Echo povo. You're made into like dust.
Yes. What did you say? Echo
povo.
What's that, French?
It's an expression in Spanish. I love it because it means what it is.
It
what
is.
What does it mean?
It means you're made like dust. You're like.
Oh.
You're crushed.
Pulverized.
Yeah, you're pulverized.
You're humble too.
Well, that's part of it, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. That sense of when your stomach is just churning.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're just overwhelmed with, again, the guilt, if you will. Contrition is all about, I am so sorry that I did this.
Yeah.
I said that.
Yeah.
Or if I could take it back, I would.
Yeah. And what what is the premier verse where we find contrite?
Yes,
50, Psalm 51:17. A contrite heart thou wilt not despise. So, that is such an important thing. And here's a little outburst here. I'm sorry for this, but here it is. All of your unbelief, this is repentance. all of your unbelief, denial, arrogance, excuses, manipulative activity, self-justification, judgments of others, and preconceived ideas are smashed, crushed, and ground into non-existence at the foot of the cross by your clearly perceiving that the blood of Christ was shed for your sin, revealing to you the compelling, redeeming, restoring love of God. This revelation is an intensely personal, life-transforming experience from which you will never recover.
Amen.
So, yeah, you're never going to recover from this. You may go through having understood repentance, and what happens in your life? You what?
You get distracted.
You get distracted from it.
You allow yourself.
Yes.
You become undisciplined.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is the, we do this in little and big ways. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Once you know the truth, you can't unknow the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why the most miserable person on this planet is who? The one who what?
Who walks away
from Christ.
That seems the Spirit.
You know?
Truth.
I would rather be a drug addict in the shadows of hell than to have known the truth, had the revelation of all of this that Christ has done, and then in my own idiocy walk away and say, I don't need it, to heck with it. Mm. You know? Those are the most miserable people in this world. Pray for those people. You know, what you guys went through in Spain was just amazing.
I've come to realize, I mean, I kind of knew it all along, but I've come to realize, like, all the trials in my life are real gifts from the Lord, because the trials really keep you close.
Yeah.
You know, when everything's kind of going hunky-dory, it's amazing. Like, you go away on vacation, it's a little scary what can happen on vacation. You know?
There is no vacation in the spiritual realm.
It is. Yeah. It's a little scary. You know, if you're sightseeing and you're doing all this stuff, it's like,
You
know,
distracted.
It's really scary.
Yeah.
So
I think that's different than walking away, though. You were talking about somebody who's rejecting.
Yeah, this is the rejecting of. Yeah. We can be distracted by. And you might be on vacation.
I think it's an excuse.
Rejecting. Well, it's a shade of,
He needs to be the center of your life.
Well, so how do you approach a vacation? You give what?
Thanks.
Yeah.
You give thanks and glory to God and spend time.
Yes. Yeah. And you cause him to be central. You make him central. I mean, this is the beauty of raising a family in Christ. I mean, you just pour the gospel into their hearts when you have them alone in your... I was I still am a physician, but, you know, I wasn't home a lot of the time when my kids were awake and alert. So the vacations had to be the time when I really had to just get before the Lord and say, please use this time. Mm-hmm. This is so important. Mm-hmm. Don't let this time pass, because this is a time when I can really be useful in your hands to speak into their lives. And, you know, the kids of this day, they look back and say, Dad, you were always around. What are you talking about? That's the divine economy of God. He took little and made it much in their eyes. And I will praise him forever for that. Because, you know, you can have somebody who sits at home and drinks beer in front of a football game, and his kids are all around, but he never pays any attention to them. Yeah. And you can accomplish more in 10 minutes than that guy can in 10 days. So it's just, God is really good. You will take what little we have and breathe life into it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, anyway.
One thing I...
Yes, please.
Made me think about it. You know, a lot of times when I vacation...
Yeah, go ahead.
It's not a week of self. It's like, I'm going to go on vacation and I'm going to do all these things that I want to do. And then it doesn't work. So... It made me think of that, but it says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So it's not a duty to do what God calls you to do. It's a privilege to do what God calls you to do. And he says to enter into his rest. So we were deceived into thinking that he's trying to take something from us or keep something from us that will bless us. And God isn't that way. God is the opposite. So where we enter into his Spirit, there's liberty. So, and the guarantee that you're coming to and the down payment of that is just part of what he's prepared for those who love him.
Amen. So, I can just imagine what your vacations are like.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's the first 3 days of realizing that, and then the next 3 days of getting it right.
We could have told you, Bill. Yeah.
Now, Bill, now you need a vacation from a vacation.
Yeah. All right, we got to keep rolling here. You guys are awesome. I love this. So, what is the difference? All right, we've had this hearing, believing, and being sealed. What is the difference between the operations of hearing, believing, and being sealed? There is a fundamental difference. And what is that? What do you think, Zachary? You got it? What's the difference between those three? The difference between being sealed
hearing, believing,
versus believing and hearing and believing.
Well, one, you have Christ, and one, you don't.
One, you hearing and believing, that is something what? Does somebody do that for you?
No.
No. You have to do that for yourself.
Self-choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's good.
What about being sealed? Adam, what about being sealed? Is that something that you do?
No.
No. It's not. And that's the difference. Do we see that? Isn't that amazing?
I see the Trinity here, though.
Oh, go ahead.
I see hearing is all due to regeneration and predestination of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And then God the Son is who we're believing in. And then the Spirit seals us.
Oh my gosh, that's lovely.
Yeah, that's good.
That is lovely. It takes all of the Trinity to save a man. I've heard that, you know. The Father draws. The Son justifies.
I don't know about making a choice for Christ, because it really is the Lord's doing.
You know what? I think there's a big problem with that whole phrase.
And that's used a lot.
It's used. I decided to invite Jesus into my life.
Yeah, because I know I didn't.
I didn't decide nothing.
I don't really.
I was ground into a pulp.
You did it for me.
That's the only thing that happened to me.
I mean, I didn't decide to hear.
No,
I was seeking.
Well, the circumstances of your life brought you to that place where you were seeking, and that was all the grace of God. He was wooing you.
We ended up seeking in the right place, which is what I can't even understand. Yeah. With all the stuff that was out there, and everybody was dishing up this different stuff.
I know, all the different methods. Yeah. And it's like, let me go back to a church again. This TM stuff didn't work.
Mm. Well, I can share, I wasn't even seeking. I was not looking for him, and he came.
Yeah.
He's still.
Yeah.
So it's all a gift.
It is. Yeah. It's grace. What is the essence of being sealed? All right, we're... I sort of foisted this on poor Zach, and I didn't know what sealing is. What is the essence of being sealed?
Marked, stamped. Yeah.
Marked,
you are protected.
Stamped, protected.
Yeah.
We show
you.
Yeah.
We show up big time in Revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, really.
Ownership.
What's that?
Ownership.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
all right. I love the phrase that somebody says, you know that you know.
Yeah.
That everything is different. You are no longer your own. You were bought with a price, and you know it, and you lovingly embrace that truth. And what is the immediate result of being sealed? You have what?
New creation.
It reminds me of what you drew long ago.
Peace? Yeah.
At the Father... Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we're in Him. We're part of the Trinity. We're in Jesus, so we're in these three circles. Mm-hmm. We're part of the Trinity, being sealed.
Yeah.
We're in Christ. We're in the Father.
Yeah, and in your darkest moment, what happens when you have that understanding? You are what? You have?
Joy.
Confidence.
Joy, confidence.
We'll discuss it.
It's the A word.
Sure.
Assurance, yes. Oh my gosh. There is a light over your head. Yes, yes, yes. Assurance, this is a whole nother topic. There are books written about assurance. And here we are wrestling with it in 7 minutes. Okay.
You've got to read ahead because you have the answers.
I know, but you're not supposed to.
Yeah, I think of the Roman seal.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
signet ring.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That was
a seal of what? Owner, you know,
exactly.
That is my personal seal.
Yeah, that's
right. It's like Christ's seal saying, you are mine.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I was thinking also the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is an immediate thing that happens.
And that's it. Yeah.
That
it's done
God
to
living
you.
Living in us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have heard, you've believed, you've been convicted, you've been repented. Guess what? Your work is done until you start walking it out for the rest of your life. But the Holy Spirit seals you in that moment for heaven's glory.
And for the rest of your life, Satan is
trying to
destroy the assurance.
Exactly.
How are you crazy?
Really. Now, assurance, again, the definition is to have assurance is to have confidence in and to be certain of. Okay? To have confidence in or to be certain of. You know, you do belong to Christ and nobody can ever take you from him. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Hmm. Not height, not depth, nor width, nor principalities, powers, nor things past, things present. Nothing can separate you. This is the assurance that we have the moment we come to faith. Now, what is the relationship between faith and assurance? Can you have one without the other?
You can doubt. I mean, we all do from time to time. What I'm just saying, you can doubt. You can have all the faith in the world, but still doubt sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's who we have faith in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Faith isn't
right.
Is nothing alone. It has to be faith in the Lord.
Faith is a journey.
Yeah.
Faith is. Yeah. It is.
It's a journey. So the longer you trust in the Lord and His Word. Mm-hmm. The stronger your assurance is.
Yeah. Well, isn't that
it comes
nice?
From, it starts with jello, and then it becomes a rock.
Yes.
Hopefully.
I think our assurance is the verse, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and always.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our assurance.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I have had times when assurance is very dim. Mm-hmm. I have to confess. Mm-hmm. And I think faith is the root. And assurance is the fruit. Yeah. Because I would love to live with this resounding truth in my head that I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit and that every crazy thing that happens to me is useful in God's hands and sanctifying me. And that is the truth. But I get into my stuff and the lights go dim and the assurance fizzles. But the faith is never taken. So, you know, when we face what we face in our lives, and you say, wow, I'm not so sure, but I mean, I'm not feeling this lovely, buoyant feeling of being alive in Christ. Don't let Satan twist that.
Yeah,
because that's just your feeling.
That's the fruit of the truth that has been sown into you, and that is your faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. The resting of the soul and the sufficiency of the evidence. Jesus, you've proven yourself again and again and again. Mm-hmm. Your assurance may get obliterated by a firestorm.
Right.
But the faith that you have in Christ will win in the end because
that's
will
what
not...
That's what the church is about.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here, is to encourage each other.
Yes, exactly.
Because that is what gets dim.
Yeah.
There's a hymn that it's called Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance.
Right after that, it says, Blessed Assurance,
Jesus is mine.
Amen.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Foretaste
of glory divine. Is that sealing? All right.
Singing here.
Zach, you did it. You finished you finished it. We're done.
I think Nancy can sing it.
Okay. Anyway. These are just some important things. Verse 14, what does the Holy Spirit represent as he dwells within you? He is the guarantee. All right.
I always just feel like he's fighting for me.
Yeah.
He fights my battles.
Yeah.
He does.
So he's the guarantee of our inheritance. Again, a guarantee is a pledge, a positive assurance that something will be done in the manner specified. So, what is our inheritance?
Eternal life in Christ.
Eternal life in Christ. All right?
Hebrews.
It's all about what we read about in Hebrews. You will have a seat at the table of the wedding feast when Christ, the bridegroom, calls his bride to himself. You will have a seat.
I like that.
Yeah. That's your inheritance. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Mm-hmm. Rule and reign with him.
Yeah. I mean, concepts that are truths that are so big, we can't even begin. But this, you know.
That doesn't make any sense.
I, you know what? 25 years from now, pull this out of your notes and go over this. Just do this. I mean, you guys in the back, particularly, some of us are going to be long gone. But, you know, this is it. This is where you're headed. Don't let anybody take you off the course of this thing. Mm-hmm. Don't. Joshua, do not. You know, you are precious. God wants all of you. He wants to bless you from forever. So don't let some weirdo friend of yours tell you otherwise. Okay? This is really... I wish somebody had sowed this into my life, you know, at age 7. Would have been a different world, but we won't go there. All right. So, and finally, what is the ultimate purpose of your sanctified, sealed life? In the last line of verse 14... To the praise of glory. All right. So, you are justified to be a child of God to the praise of His glorious grace. I love that. That's 5 and 6. It's grace that is, it's pointed to, that's what we needed to become a child of God. But you live and are sanctified to the praise of His glory. In verse 12, we see that. And then you are sealed unto your glorification in the acquisition of your promised inheritance to the praise of His glory. So that's why the learning target is that you would be certain that every part of your journey, justification, sanctification, glorification, is designed to give praise to the glory of God. We need never be in doubt as to why we exist. So that's it.
You know, this week has been... You know what, Phil? Sometimes the worst thing in my life is when you lose your wallet and you have everything in it. And I walk in the house, I say, I have my keys. Where's my wallet? It has everything in it. Because I stopped and there was bird outside and the beautiful color. I grabbed my camera and I couldn't find my wallet. I said, Lord, You know where it is. I can't have dropped it. We might have dropped it. We were going all over the place. So I'm frantically running out, Lord, please help me find my wallet. I'm in every single room. And finally, I went into where the solarium was. There it was, sitting right there with my keys that I missed and everything, and my camera case, because I had stopped everything, take a picture of the bird. I mean, that was really...
So that was all to the praise of God's glory.
Oh, my gosh, wasn't it? And then on top of that, Verizon, you know, we're half of the time in South Carolina. And so they're charging us for not being there. I said, wait a minute. We're supposed to get holding time. I said, well, you're past holding time. I said, you've got to be kidding. So anyway, the man said, you've got to pay the penalty for canceling the whole service and another 2 months. That's another $160. And I said, I want to talk to your supervisor, because I never knew any of that stuff. So anyway, I'm waiting, and the Lord said, hang up, call somebody else. I hang up, and said, Lord, bring somebody who's compassionate. So I call up Verizon again. I get this representative. I said, who are you? From Georgia. I said, I'm getting charged for not being there. Well, she, long story short, she canceled all of it. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'll talk to the supervisor. Oh, he said, he'll give you 10% off each month for a whole year. I said, no, I want to just discontinue the service. So she said, okay. She discontinued the service. She canceled all the charges. And I said, can I pray for you?
Well, you know what? Can you pray for us?
So I presented the gospel to her and prayed for her.
Yeah, pray. Rosie, close us in prayer. Yeah.
I'm really...
Okay.
Thank you. Well, Lord, I'll pray for Rosie. God, thank you for giving us such a feast today. Lord, we can't begin in our worldly wisdom to grab hold of these titanic truths, but God, you can make every one of these truths an arrow into our hearts. Lord, you can hone and refine all that's been said here to make a difference as we live each moment. So, Lord, we're so grateful. And every one of us knows the truth, and we can't deny it, and may we never deny it. May we never deny you. Lord, we are creature. You are creator. We are sheep. You are shepherd. Lord, you are king, and we are your bondservants. Lord, you are the potter, and we are the pot. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of meeting together. God, we pray your anointing upon Michael. We pray your spirit so abounds in our worship today that we would just be just so taken by giving praise to your glory. Lord, that your radiant presence would inspire us to praise with all of our hearts. So, God, thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sorry.